There was a historian named Josephus who lived during the time of Christ, or about that time anyway. And in some of his writings, he refers to four different sects of the Jewish community. And talks, and of course, these different Jewish sects had different philosophies. There was the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, the Essenes, and then there were the Zealots. And we might liken them to, in our society today, we have the Democrats, the Republicans, Independents, Communist Party. I suppose there's some of them still around. Some Nazi parties. We've had the Ku Klux Klan, and we could go on and name several different political groups with different philosophies. And I suppose if we was to make a connection between the Zealots in our society, we might say the Zealots were similar to the Ku Klux Klan. The Zealots' name was applied to an extreme section of the Pharisees who were bitterly antagonistic to the Romans. They just absolutely could not stand to have the Romans over them. Okay? This is all according to Vine's Expository Dictionary. The group was founded, according to Vines, by Judas of Galilee. And this particular guy is mentioned in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 37. After his rebellion in A.D. 6, the Zealots nursed the fires of revolt along as they kept going along, which finally burst out afresh in A.D. 66, which led to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Now, did you realize that we had an apostle that was part of that sect? Ben just had a study about not too long ago about the apostles. Who can remember what apostle I'm referring to? Okay, right back here. All right, Simon the Zealot. Okay, both of you correct. Zealot is the Greek word for being zealous, literally a zealot, an uncompromising partisan. So, I would like to contrast two characters today in regard to their zeal and make this comparison and think about exactly how zeal affected both these people's lives. The two people I'm referring to is Jesus and Barabbas. The zeal that Jesus had brought about good, and the zeal that Barabbas had steered him in the wrong direction. The reason I'm here to talk about zeal is it's really a very important part in all of our lives, and especially as Christians. So let's take a look here. Barabbas was described as a notable murderer, an insurrectionist, a man cast into prison for a certain sedition. He was also called a robber. You can find this in all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the Gospels. So since he was an insurrectionist and a rebel, and a revolutionist, I would guess that Barabbas was probably a zealot. Now, I can't say that I have a specific place that says he was a zealot, but I would guess that, politically speaking, he was probably aligned somewhat with them. Zeal is defined as an eager interest and enthusiasm. And an ardent endeavor or devotion. Someone that has fervor is someone that has zeal. Is this a good trait or is this a bad trait? Well, I think we would all agree that it's a good trait if it's in the right direction. I was having a discussion with Travis here. We were at Kalen's ball game, and we were talking about practice. You know, how that practice, we say practice makes perfect, and of course, if your practice is not done accordingly, it won't perfect you in what you're practicing in. But practice is a good thing, isn't it? I think a good ball player who loves his sport would have a zeal to practice. But we know that there's some people that like to play, but they don't like to practice. And Travis was telling me, he says, I never did like practice. He goes, he liked to play, but he didn't like practice. Because in practice, you have to work hard. Sometimes you have to run, or sometimes you have to do things to push your body to get better. So if you want to be a good ball player, you got to have some zeal. And you got to love to practice. Now, what kind of zeal did Jesus have? Well, let's just take a quick look at that. Was Jesus zealous of an earthly home with lots of conveniences? Did he have a zeal for that? And the answer is, well, no, he didn't have a zeal for that. He says he didn't have a place to lay his head. That's in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 20. Was Jesus zealous for wanting to be the big it? To be the big cheese? To be the one that was in the spotlight? Hey, look at me. Was that Jesus? No. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus' zeal was to do his Father's will. To fulfill the law. To establish a new covenant. To prepare his apostles to spread the word, be a lasting true example for the human race. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 4 through 8, it says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who thought he was in the form of God, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So Jesus had a zeal for some very good things, didn't he? Well, what kind of zeal did Barabbas have? Well, it describes him as a murderer, someone that robbed, someone that caused division, someone that was thrown into prison. A lot of things bad happened to him, but we do know that a lot of bad things happened to Jesus too. No doubt, Barabbas' intentions were probably for a good cause. At least in his mind, they were for a good cause. Or they possibly could have been just completely selfish. Maybe he murdered somebody because he robbed him. Okay, or I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs, but Barabbas was not considered a good person. Zeal is a good trait to have, but it needs to be pointed in the right direction. Titus, the 2nd chapter, verse 11 through 14, says this about zeal. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Galatians 1, 11 through 14. We all know that in the early life of Paul, he had a great zeal for the traditions of his forefathers. It says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel was preached by me, the gospel preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church and God violently and tried to destroy it. So he was very zealous. but he's zealous for the wrong thing. He says, I was advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Well, if the traditions of your fathers are good, there's nothing wrong being zealous for that. But Paul discovered that the traditions of his fathers were not right. Now, if you have zeal for a good thing with the wrong motive, that's not good either. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, starting at verse 2, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Well, this passage in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter is talking about the gifts of the Spirit that were handed out to the early church. And many of the people were able to speak in another language. And I suppose they thought that was really a real cool thing to do and kind of put them in the limelight, you might say. But their zeal was not in the right place because they didn't have the right motive for why they did it. So they desired to speak in tongues, craving, you might say, the limelight or the attention which brought to them. But Paul tried to explain to them that I would rather speak five words of understanding than 1,000 words in a different tongue that nobody got. So we have to be careful with our zeal and make sure it's in the right place. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12 through 16, says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So when you think about the zeal of a Christian, it's very important that it is aimed in the right direction. Just because zeal is one of those things that can be mishandled doesn't mean that we need to stay away from it. Well, I just won't be zealous. I'm afraid I'll use it wrong. Well, we can't be like that. Doesn't mean you have to steer clear of it. Now, we've already defined what zeal is. What's the opposite of zeal? Well, the opposite of zeal is someone that's unconcerned, someone that displays apathy, someone that is very indifferent. God doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to be a ship at sea with no sails or no engine to thrust us along. He doesn't want us out there just floating around and going with whatever direction the water flows or the wind blows. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want us to be drifting. So let me ask you this question. Is it really possible to even be a Christian without zeal? I think we really need to think seriously about that. Can we really be a Christian without zeal? I don't think we need to be deceived. Satan would love for us to think that it's a-okay to just drift along and just whatever somebody says, well, that's okay. That's not okay. So as you have obeyed the gospel and you've been baptized in the Lord, be sure that you do the things that he wants you to do. Okay, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be someone to question the writings of the apostles, the writings of Jesus. It says, be blameless and innocent children. Matthew, well, before I give that verse, let me say this. There are many religious organizations that have risen out of zeal. And they do good works. And they're very zealous. But is that zeal directed in the right place? It's easy for people to get on board behind somebody that's zealous. How many of us really would have a desire to follow someone that is indifferent, apathetic, unconcerned? Would we be attracted to that? No, we wouldn't be attracted to that. People are attracted to people that are zealous. And that's okay as long as these people that are zealous are on the right track. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So your zeal must be within the knowledge of the Scriptures. And that's, we all know that, but we need to be reminded of that. Be sure it's for good and righteous purposes if you have zeal. Be sure your zeal is not solely after the traditions of men, but after the traditions that God laid down for us. And be sure your zeal is with the correct motives. It's human nature to admire those that are young and those that are old that have a lot of spunk and desire and drive. People with zeal. It's natural. Without a real zeal for the truth and righteousness, what happens to us? What happens when you become indifferent, when you just kind of, you're just there? You know, you're not really... When you come to church, you're not necessarily paying attention. You're not really got your mind on worshiping the Lord or praising Him. Or when you are out about and you're working with other people of the world and they do things that are really not right, can you just float along and just kind of, well, just join them? No. That's the way Satan would like us to do. But God wants us to have zeal. That's probably the quickest you'll ever get out of church on Sunday morning. I noticed I got started 15 till, and it's 5 after. That's okay. We don't have to be here till a certain time. I hope my message will awake all of us to being more zealous and to think about how zealous we are. We certainly don't want to be just a big blob, do we? If we can, we're going to sing a song here as soon as I step down from the podium. And this will be our last song of the day. If you desire to be a Christian, obviously you've been thinking about it, and you want to do something about it, we're here to help you, assist you in whatever way we can. Maybe you have turned your back on the Lord and you want to come back to Him. And you want to let the congregation know we're here for you while we stand and sing. So just come forward and we'll help you in whatever way we can. Number 800.